from Denver. I have one daughter that graduated from CSU, and I have another daughter that graduated from CU Boulder. So I think in these schools, represented, so you have CSU is here, right? And then University of Colorado, Denver. Have a couple of students. Stand up, University of Colorado. Also, let me see Fort Collins first. Who's on the CSU campus? Good. Thanks. Okay, UC Denver. Then I know University of Utah. You're here. And then I know, is there any campus I'm missing? I know University of New Mexico, Albuquerque. They're on their way up. They'll be here late tonight. I'm excited. It's a wonderful subject that we'll be in this conference. If you have your books, maybe you could look at the title on the cover page. We can read it all together. The small print and the big print. The beginning and the end, a bird's eye view, life and building in the Holy Bible. I don't know how many of you have done this, if you ever had to read a book for a literature class and, do a report on it. Has anybody ever, read the first few chapters and then just skip to, the last couple of chapters? And you didn't have time to read the book? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay. There's Cliff Notes too now, but anyway, I've got gray hair. I'm a lot older than you. Almost as old as Greg, not quite. But I know who invented that. You realize I'm not that old, but who invented just reading a few chapters at the beginning and then just kind of skipping to the end? So, you kind of read a couple of chapters of the Bible. I know it's a lot of verses. There's a lot of verses, a lot of chapters, a lot of pages, pretty thin pages, really small prints, 971 pages in the New Testament. Let's see, Old Testament. There's Zechariah. Just about 1,800 pages in the Old Testament. 1793, 94, 95. That's a lot of pages. You know who invented just reading the first couple chapters, reading the last? Actually, it's God. And I'm going to show you. Because in this conference, we're just going to focus on the first two chapters of the Bible and the last two chapters of the Bible. Of course, we'll cover some things in between. But if you just read the first two chapters of the Bible and the second two chapters, you'll pick up some things that are there in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And you'll see you have the same few things in Revelation 21 and 22. So, and these things are related to the big print on this cover, which is life and building. So, just to open, I thought I would just kind of glean through Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. But let me ask, among you, how many of you have read the whole New Testament, Matthew to Revelation? Show of hands. Good. How many have read the whole Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation? Okay. Well, I think everybody knows Genesis chapter 1, right? Genesis chapter 1 is the record of God's creation. God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was, it became waste and empty. And darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was brooding on the surface of the waters. So there's that picture. There's the earth covered in deep water, in total darkness with the Spirit of God brooding over the surface of the waters. And then God starts creation. You know, creation is covered in a period of 6 days, with the seventh day being a rest day. And I want to go through it quickly, but I think you know, the very first thing God did was speak light into being. So you have that dark, you have that earth covered with water and darkness, and he spoke light. Then the second day, that was the first day. Then on the second day, that deep water he separated from the water on the earth, water in the heaven, creating an expanse. Or it's called the heavens. Or you might call it the atmosphere. That was day two. Then day three, the water that was left to cover, that was separated, the water remaining on the earth, that was kind of gathered together to form the seas, and dry land appeared. And when dry land appeared, then there was plants. There was grass, there was herbs yielding seed, there was trees bearing fruit. It's all the plant life on the third day. Then on the fourth day, light bearers, sun, moon, stars, to separate day from night. And that was the fourth day. Then on the fifth day, fish in the sea were created, birds in the heaven, they were created. Then on the sixth day, it was all the animals, and it was man. And then on the seventh day, you know, God was happy with what he had created. And it was a day of rest. He rested. Then you come to Genesis chapter 2. And here we start getting into some of these. There's some things here that you're going to find also in Revelation 21 and 2. So, of course, in Genesis 1, you have earth, and then you have man, of course, and, of course, you have God. And then in Genesis, I'm just going to skip. In Genesis 2, you have the Garden of Eden. Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he had put the man whom he had formed. Okay, so keep that in mind, Garden of Eden. And then out of the ground, Jehovah caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the first big thing, the tree of life. In this Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life. And if you go on this to the next, Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, it also says, "And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four branches." So that's the second thing. You'll see when I'm going to jump over to Revelation. There's a tree of life, and there's this river. And that river became four branches. The first is Pishon. It's the one that goes around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Gold. Keep that in mind. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. Delium is a kind of it's a precious material. It's like a pearl, and it comes from the resin of a tree. And an onyx stone, that's another precious stone or precious material. So there's gold, there's delium, and onyx stone, or precious stones. So keep that in mind. That's in Genesis chapter 2. Then, skipping, just jump over to verse 20 in Genesis chapter 2. You know, Adam was created and he was alone. And it wasn't good for the man to be alone. So something needed to be done. And the man, it says the man gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of heaven, to every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper as his counterpart. And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And Jehovah God built the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, this time this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So you have a woman. It's interesting. Adam was created, but Eve was built from a rib from Adam. So you have this woman or this bride who was built from Adam's rib. So then, if you skip, that's the first couple chapters of the book. And if I skip to the last couple chapters, you're going to see some similarities. Okay. How many of you read the book of Revelation? Good. It's a book of signs. So a lot of these things in 21 and 22 are a sign or a picture. Okay, 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So there's that woman again, that bride. She's there in chapter 21, like Eve was there in Genesis 2. Then, I'm just reading the chapter in sequence. I skip to verse 10. And he carried me away in spirit onto a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. There's precious stone. It had a great and high wall, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names and names inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every precious stone. So there's the precious stone. There's a big list of precious stones here. So you see the woman, the bride. You see the precious stones that were in Genesis 1 and 2. So only two items left. Then if I come to Revelation chapter 22, it says, and he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. There's the river of water of life. There was the river in the Garden of Eden that came out of the Garden of Eden and split into four branches. Here again is a river coming out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then verse 2 goes on to say, and on this side and on that side of the river, the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So there, did you catch that? There's the tree of life. You had the tree of life in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1 and 2. And here in the last chapter of the Bible is that tree of life again. And also that river of water. And then lastly, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So there's the bride again. Let him who hears come, and let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. So that's the beginning and the end. And that's, if you pay attention to those four things, the tree of life, the river of water of life, the precious stones, and the bride, the builded woman. If you pay, those four things in Genesis 1 and 2 are the same four things in Revelation 21 and 22. So, it's not a coincidence. This book was written, this is God's breath, and it's God speaking, written through men being born by the Spirit. So God gave us these four things. They're in the beginning of the Bible, and they're at the end of the Bible, and those four things have everything to do with this, life and building. Of course, you have the tree of life. That's life. The river of water of life. That's related to life. You have precious stones, which are, you could see, those precious stones in Genesis. Through the course of the Bible, there's building going on. And when you get to the end of the Bible, there's the city, New Jerusalem, which is a city built of these precious materials, like I read to you. And then there's this woman, this bride. She's there in Genesis, and she's there in, of course, she's just called the woman in Genesis. Of course, we know that's Adam's bride. But in Revelation 21 and 22, this bride comprises all God's people through time. And that bride is a city. And that city's built of these precious materials. So you can see that's something related to building. There's life, and then there's building. Have you ever seen that before? Anybody? It's there, though. You can't deny it, right? It's right there in these four chapters of the Bible. Sorry, I don't get up to the mountains much anymore. So, if you look in your outline, message one, tonight we're just going to cover this first of these four items in these two chapters at the beginning, the first book and last book, and that's the tree of life. But this first point is just, this is an introductory point. Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, the beginning and the end of the Bible, they present the central vision of the Bible. And that central vision of the Bible is the building of a corporate person. Do you know what we mean by that, the building of a corporate person? I think it'll get clearer through this conference, and it'll get covered in one of the messages. But you got that one man, Adam, with his bride in Genesis. And at the end of the Bible, you have a builded city. So it's a corporate person, many people. The New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and 22, that's a reflection and a fulfillment of the divine revelation concerning the Garden of Eden. So what is there in Revelation 21 and 22? That New Jerusalem reflects and fulfills what's in Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 1 and 2, that's the organic blueprint, it says in 1b. It's the architectural plan of the triune God. So any architecture majors or engineers or construction management? There's a building work going on with an architectural plan of the triune God. And Revelation 21, 20, and 22, that's the fulfillment or the finished product, the organic masterpiece of the triune God. And that's for the full manifestation of the multifarious wisdom of God. Amen. You know, this whole Bible, and we're part of it. We're right now somewhere close toward the end of the Bible, where we are in time. God has been working to manifest His multifarious wisdom. And when we get to the end of the Bible, and you have that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, that is the full unveiling of God's multifarious wisdom. So in both Genesis, this is C, in both Genesis 1 through 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, we see life and building as the basic and central revelation of the Bible. Life is for building, and the building comes out of life. That's why you have the tree of life, as we're going to see in a bit, and the river of water of life. Out of that river came precious materials. So life is for building, and building comes out of life. And life is the triune God just dispensed into our being. And building is the enlargement of God to express God in a corporate way. So that's the two ends of the Bible, the beginning and the end. And I was just kind of in my mind reviewing what are some of my most favorite verses in the New Testament. Of course, I have a lot I like in the Old Testament, but and you know I typed them out. I'm going to read them to you. But you could see, as I read these, you could see something of life, and you could see something of building. Because if you get these things in the first two chapters and the last two chapters, then as you read through the whole Bible, you can really see the Bible is full of life, and it's full of building. Even if you just go through it really quick, what happened in the Old Testament? Oh, the building of the tabernacle, the building of the temple, the captivity of the children of Israel, taken back, the restoration of the temple. What happened in the New Testament? The Lord Jesus, He was the tabernacle of God with men. What came out of that? The Lord Jesus' work was the building of the church. How does the Bible end? It has the churches and it has the New Jerusalem, this ultimate, consummate building. So, listen to these. These are some of my favorite verses. John 1:4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I bet you all know these verses. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes into Me, even if he should die, shall live. Matthew 16:18. You are Peter. You know what Peter means? It's a stone. Peter means a stone. You are Peter, a stone, and upon this rock I will build My church. There's building. John 3:29a and 30. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. He must increase, and I must decrease. There's the bride. The bride is the increase of Christ. My bride, my wife, is the increase of Me. The church is the increase of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9 and 10. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's cultivated land, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me as a wise master builder, this is Paul who wrote this, I have laid a foundation and another builds upon it. Listen to this. But let each man take heed how he builds upon it. There's building. Verses 12 and 13 of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 3. If anyone builds upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, there's those precious materials in a building context, or wood, grass, stubble, the work of each will become manifest. This is Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, which is a quote from Genesis 2. And shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Listen to this. This mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ and the church. There's more building there. And then lastly, Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. So I hope you're impressed with this life and building. I'll stop there.
Well, praise the Lord. Bear with me here. Okay. Fire. No, praise the Lord. Just wanted to start out by saying something that, you know, to be a Christian is a wonderful thing. And, in fact, it's the most wonderful thing a human could enter into. And I just, you know, I was telling Eric earlier that when I first became a believer, I knew that the Lord forgave my sins and that He was my Savior and that my Redeemer and that He was going to be with me for eternity. That's about as much as I knew. Okay? But it's much more than that. Actually, the Lord, through His redemption, brought us back to God's original purpose. And it's this purpose, which is much higher, actually, to be redeemed and to have the blood, is sort of a parenthesis, a sort of a little interruption in God's plan. God planned to use man in a certain way from the very beginning. And at the end, you can see the consummation of what God wanted to do with man. But in between that time, for a short period of time, there was the fall and the necessary redemption needed. But that was just to bring us back to God's original purpose with man. And so we have to see that view. And when I saw that, that changed my Christian life. Because I realized now I had something. I mean, I was so thankful that my sins were forgiven. I was so thankful that I could, the Lord received me and accepted me. But much more, what He did, what that allowed to happen, was for God to bring us back to Himself as life and to put life into us. And when we say life, okay, in the world, in the universe, there's several types of life, I mean, with man. There's the bios, I think, right? That's my physical body. Then there's the psuche, that's my, like, mind, emotion, and will, you know, my soul. But the life that we're talking about here is not as unique, and it's the Zoe. So when we say in Him was life, we don't mean bios or psuche, like what we have. We mean something that is eternal, Zoe. And this is what God brought us back to. We will be people of Zoe. We will be in another realm. And this is where we as Christians need to spend our time. We every day thank the Lord for cleansing us. Every day we apply His blood to our conduct and to our failures and whatnot. And that is simply that we could go on in this way of Zoe. Okay? So you have to understand that Zoe is eternal life. And it not only means eternal in time, okay, but also it means eternal in quality. Like, for example, yes, it's eternal in time, okay, it will never end, but it's also eternal in quality. For example, love, God's love. God's love has no limit. God's love is eternal in scope, okay? You see that? I mean, it's like, oh, Lord, I'll be with You for eternity. But for that eternity, I want to know this unlimited love. See, and not only that, but just for example, His patience in dealing with us is eternal. You see, okay? And He deals with all of us. But the reason He deals with us is so that we would constantly and perpetually come to Him and take Him as life. In fact, life is the only way God accomplishes what He's after in us, which is the New Jerusalem, which for eternity is where all the people of God will dwell. But the New Jerusalem, by the way, is not a physical city. It's a type. The New Jerusalem is the aggregate of all the redeemed, transformed, life people of God throughout history. And then for eternity, we will spend eternity with our wonderful husband as His bride, enjoying one another in an endless way for eternity. This is what God is after. But He does it by the way of life. And I remember that I, as a young person, I tried to be a Christian because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. I mean, I became a believer by the Lord's mercy, and so I tried to be a Christian, okay? And I failed miserably. I couldn't do it. To a point when I've told other saints this, I actually thought I was some kind of technical error. Somehow I got into the Lord's family by accident because I just realized, this is just not working, Lord. Okay? But then one day, I was some brothers were sharing the word, and this one word, Christ, who is our life, came to me, and the lights went on. And I realized, Lord, you don't want me to live the Christian life. You want to live the Christian life in me. You want to live the Christian life for me. And all you want me to do is open up to you and take you in. And that's why the Lord in his wisdom chose as a type to show the picture of how we should live before him, brought this matter of eating. Now, there's two trees. One's the tree of life, the tree of Zoe. And the other one's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'll give you a little example. Okay? The tree of knowledge, it's like going to school. And you want to learn to be an accountant. And all the, you know, so you go and your professors teach you how to be an accountant. Right? And at the end, you thank the teacher and you go be an accountant. You don't need that teacher anymore. Okay? That's knowledge. But our wise, wonderful God chose eating, drinking, and breathing as a way for us to have a relationship with him. And you can graduate from college with your degrees, and you won't need those professors anymore. But you never, ever graduate from eating, drinking, and breathing. And our God chose this as a picture of how our relationship with him is. In one word, it's total, or two words, total dependence. If you could be a person that is dependent on the Lord all day, every day, you are the most blessed person on the planet. If you just look to the Lord as your full supply to meet your every need, to satisfy every desire, to fill you, to take you on, to protect you, to cover you, you will be nothing but full of joy. Because this wonderful God is to be for us everything. And I don't mean just a few things, just my forgiver of sins and the fellow, you know, like there when I need him. But he is actually everything to us. And it even says in Colossians, and in him are hidden all the treasures. And all the fullness of God dwelt in him. And now he is ours and he dwells in us. And this is the way of life. So this second Roman numeral, the main emphasis here on placing us in the front of the tree of life was that God wants us constantly to receive his life into us. You know, we're just vessels. That's all we are. I mean, God made us in his image with his likeness. But with it's like a glove, right? We've used that term before. A glove looks like a hand. But a glove without a hand in it is really useless. And that's how what we are. We're like the glove in the image of the hand, in the likeness of the hand. But the hand needs to be filled. I mean, the glove needs to be filled with the hand. And so we're vessels. And we need to be filled because we're in God's image and have his likeness. We're there, the perfect model for God to fill up with himself. This is what God is after. He is after just to saturate us with life. A Christian life is a life not of doing good. Okay? Forget about doing good. Now, this may sound like heretical, okay? But it's actually not. Okay, I'll tell you why. God's life can do nothing but good. God's life can do nothing but keep the Ten Commandments. We can do nothing but try to do it, I mean, ourselves apart from God, try to keep the Ten Commandments. But I promise you, each one of us here and at least one of them will fail. And it will show us, you just cannot do it. You know? But if we take God in and we enjoy God and He becomes everything to us, effortlessly and spontaneously, good things will flow, you know, in that sense, we'll keep the commandments of God. Because the commandments of God are just a picture of who He is. The Ten Commandments are just a picture of who our God is. We try as we will, we can't do it. But if we enjoy Him as life every day, effortlessly and spontaneously, He does it in us. In Romans 8, it talks about what we could not do and that we are weak, you know, in the flesh. God sending His Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin, right? It says, and then it goes on to say, through the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life, there's a law there. And that law will just keep the commandments of God. So anyway, I want to bring this out purposely to show you what we really enter into as believers. We're not only forgiven, have our sins cleansed away, are brought back to God. We're fully brought back to God, but God's life can now flow into us as He originally intended. And if you look in chapter 3 of Genesis, after the fall, one thing, when God moved Adam and Eve out of the garden, there was one thing that He very seriously kept man away from, and that was the tree of life, right? Because man was now defiled by Satan, okay? The tree of life was the one thing that God kept him away from. But now, through redemption, we are brought back, and it even says now we have the right to eat of the tree of life. So, I just want to paint that sort of picture into us that life is where God wants us. The tree of life is where God wants us to be, in the middle of the garden. Okay, now in that garden, man was given, and this is where I wanted to bring us up to that point, that it was in the garden, and man had to do, he enjoyed, but there was some things that man had to do. He had to keep the garden. He had to keep the ground. And some versions say till the land. Others just care for the land. And actually, that's something that we have to do in order for the tree of life to have a healthy way to go on in our lives. And that has everything to do. The land there is a type. And what that really means is that we till the land or keep the land is that we have to care mainly for our heart. Okay? See, this matter of being dependent on God and to realize that nothing is more crucial than for us to eat of Him. You know, in chapter 4 of John, we have to eat and drink and breathe Him in. Chapter 4 of John, the Lord went to the well, met the Samaritan woman who was a sinner, right? She had five husbands, multiple husbands and whatnot. But you know what He wanted to do? He just wanted her to drink of Him. He didn't go there to condemn her, but He went there to give her living water. See, and this is an attitude that we realize, Lord, You're not here to put me down. You're not here to condemn me. You want to flood me with who You are. And He even said, if you would drink of the water that I give you, meaning Himself, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers or fountains of living water. This is where we're positioned. And so we need to come to Him all the time. That's why He comes to us as food. And it's interesting, in chapter 6 of John, we sung that song, which, by the way, is one of my favorite songs. I can't sing it because it fluctuates too high, but I try. But when the Lord said this, He says, I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. He that eats me, you know, shall live forever. Well, when that was over, that whole chapter offended a lot of people. And they said, we just can't take this. You know, he's talking about being the living bread and eating his flesh, and, you know, and it was just too much. They, you know, because they had a concept, you know, that this one was coming to be their king like a Roman emperor. But that's not it at all. He came as a king, but he was going to do it in life. And this is how he does it with us. He is life to us. He's life to us as the tree of life, as the water of life, and as the very breath of life. And so, I just wanted to bring that to our attention because, you know, bring this up here, if I can do it. There's some points about this matter in Genesis 2, I think it's 15, that he put man there to till the soil. I'll put it that way. And we have to know what's the best way to position ourselves to be receivers of life. And the enemy will come in and constantly try to distract us from enjoying him as our everything. You know, and one of the best examples is in Matthew chapter 13, and also there's the same thing in Luke 8, where it talks about a sower went out to sow the seed. And the seed was the word, eventually it was the word of life. But it fell in numerous kinds of conditions of soil. Okay? And in these conditions of soil, in one condition it was rocky. It was, you know, by the wayside, and nothing happened. In a sense, that's like a heart being completely closed. And it said the birds of the air came and took the seed away. And that symbolizes Satan, where our heart is completely closed to God. He's life. Excuse me. He's knocking at the door. He's waiting to come in, but our heart is hard. But that's our responsibility, is to till the land, is to take good care of the soil. And then another one was, it fell between some rocks and it sprang up real quick. But there was no root in the person. And as soon as difficulties came, the plant withered up. You know, life in us will wither up because we have difficulties and our heart just turns away from God. And then another one was, it fell into a soil and it sprang up, but there was thorns and thistles in the soil. Okay? And that's a warning to us that the cares of this age, and young ones, you probably more than the age you're all in college and whatnot, you have your whole life ahead of you. I mean, you have all these circumstances, and you have so many things coming your way, that all these things, you have a desire to get a good job, get a family, on the positive side, you know, to be wealthy, on the positive side, and then on the negative side, you have anxieties of life, right? The problems of life, right? Those things come in and also choke this life that's in us, you see? And so our job, again, was just to till the soil, and that is our heart. But there was one condition, and that was the heart, who the soil was just good. I mean, the rocks and the thorns and everything was taken out. And that's what we need to do every day. There is a book I'd like to recommend to you. It's called The Tree of Life. And you can get it. Ask Paul at the... He'll tell you how to do it. what I really realized about that is that in this, it just shows it that we want to be those that constantly enjoy the Lord as life. That is what that's our job. And every day we need to open to the Lord as soon as we wake up. One of the best things we could do is, as soon as we wake up, the first thing is just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I turn my heart to you. Lord, I want to be dependent on you all day. And I just, a little parenthesis here, some of us older brothers, and Scott there too, yeah, there you go. You would think, as you grow as a Christian, you become more and more confident, and you have, you know, more secure in who you are as a Christian. Okay? But actually, it's the opposite. The more you go on with the Lord and grow, the more you, Lord, I need you. I want you. You are the only treasure in the universe. You're the only thing worth living for is you, Lord. And the more, and so I want my heart to be right in every way. I don't want the slightest cloud between myself and you. And I want to love you all day. You know, we call on the Lord, yes. We praise His name, yes. But we're, you know, a three-part being. We have a body, soul, and spirit. We touch the Lord in our spirit, which is where he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It says that in Corinthians, I think, 6:17, right? And but the Lord wants to spread from our spirit through our entire being, our mind, emotion, and will. But there's so many things there that choke that up. And the more we go on, we want to be dependent on the Lord. And Lord, I don't want anything to come between me and you. And there was a, let me get this back up here again. There was a couple of things here that just to help us till this soil, to till this ground, so life can grow, so the tree of life has a healthy way to grow, and that we can eat of it in a good way. And one of them is that, you know, is this matter? They asked the Lord how to pray. I think it was Luke. Well, also one in Luke 11, and he showed them. You know, our Father, who art in heaven, sanctified be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is part of the building. Is thy will be done? And we, you know, we're for that. But he says, then he says, give us our this day our daily bread. Okay. But then it goes on to another important part. Forgive us our trespasses. It's interesting how this is worded. As. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others theirs. See? This is really important in our way to enjoy the Lord and take Him His life every day. We have to realize that, Lord, between you and me, I want no distance. We need to spend time with the Lord every morning. Yes, we call on His name. We love Him, and we love to do that. But He may touch us. Well, what about this that you did? You know? And then we have to spend time with the Lord, saints. Don't, you know, this is our responsibility. This is the tilling and keeping of the soil of the good land, is to make sure there's no distance between us and the Lord. Lord, yes, I did say that. I did do that. He may touch you. You spoke to your wife that way, you know, or you spoke to a classmate that way. It might have only been, the other person may not have even known it, but the Lord knew it. And you have to realize, Lord, yes, that was not your life. That was me. And Lord, forgive me. And then also, that's between us and the Lord. Then also, we need to make sure we have no negative, as far as we're concerned, from us towards others, no negative view or hold a negative attitude towards another person. We need to forgive everyone everything. And that allows the Lord to likewise forgive us of everything. This is the responsibility on our side. Okay, because we want to partake of the tree of life, but we have to make sure that the soil of our heart is right for this to take place. Don't think you can enjoy life and then criticize someone or do something, maybe no one knows but the Lord, maybe cheat on something, on a test or something. No one knows this, Lord, but, you know, the Lord knew it. Okay? And that will interrupt your fellowship with Him, with life. And then also, if you know, you have an attitude towards another brother that's critical, the Lord will just say, no, that's not me. You have to clear that up. And it even talks about it in some of the chapters where if you have a known offense with someone and you bring a gift to the altar, and a gift in the Old Testament was for fellowship with God, God said, leave that gift there. Go take care of the offense. I don't want to have fellowship with you until you clear that up. You see? Because God's the God of life. He's pure. And He's holy. And He's just. And for us to have fellowship with Him, we need to make sure that our being is right. Okay? So that we can enjoy this tree of life. It's not done in a way that's very haphazard or loose. But the more we go on, the more we love the Lord and want to eat and drink of Him, the more we need to confess. And in chapter 4 of John, the Lord actually got this lady, this Samaritan woman, to confess to Him that she had, I think, 5 husbands, right? And the one she was living with was not her husband. This was His way of allowing her to confess, right? And then, you know, that way He could flow into her as living water, you know. And this is what we want, the living water. You know, we want the bread of life. All these things God wants to flow into us. And our only responsibility is to make sure everything's right for that to happen. And a lot of times, so when we wake up in the mornings, we have to realize, Lord, I'm not here to promise to do. Dante, don't ever tell the Lord you're going to do something good for Him. You know, because that's not why we're here. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But what He wants us to do, it's not what we do for Him. It's what He does in us. And He wants to, give you the best example. Adam, okay, the Lord made male and female of every species of animal. But with the man was something different. And, of course, this is not a gender issue, by the way. This is just a matter of, you know, showing a picture. The church only comes out, Eve only came out of Adam. In other words, all that she was built up with, all that she subsisted of, was what came out of Adam. Okay, that's a type. The church is only that which comes out of Christ. The Christ that He works into us by us eating and drinking Him all day long, or, you know, that's the Christ, that's the material that He will use to build up the body of Christ, the church, and ultimately the New Jerusalem. So we have to realize, saints, we go the way of life. Every day we want to be open vessels of life. And life is the, and in John chapter 15, He says, I'm the vine. Again, the vine tree. He's a vine tree. You're the branches. Okay? And He says, you know, abide in Me, and I abide in you. And then He goes, for apart from Me, you can do nothing. Now you may say, well, wait a second. I can build a home. I can do this. I can do that. He doesn't mean that. But for nothing for His purpose. See, there's the difference. We all can do things, but when it comes to His purpose, the only way is to abide in Him as the tree of life, a branch in the vine. For apart from this tree of life, we can do nothing. Amen. So we need to realize that, and by the Lord's mercy, He will show us. And saints, don't get upset about your failures, your mistakes, because that just shows you, Lord, I need You more. Amen. I haven't been eating You enough. I haven't been taking You in enough. You know, this is the Lord's way. I'm so thankful that the Lord, what He starts, He'll finish. And even Paul, who had a tremendous religious pedigree, he was educated by the highest people, and he just was impeccable in the way he did things. But he said, I count that all as dung, that I may know Him and be found in Him. And just like that, we need to be found in Him. And that's where we want to, you know, every day we need to linger in Him in the morning. But ultimately, that lingering in the morning needs to spread to all day, to when anybody touches us. Anybody finds you, Ethan, he's going to find you where? In Christ. That's to me, is where we actually, that's the only place we belong. In Colossians 2, let me read this to you. My other device here. It talks about, okay, well, it's not here. Anyway, it says, we've been qualified, okay, to share in the portion with all the saints. We're all qualified. And then we've been transferred. Every one of us, once we believe, we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's where we live, and that's Zoe. We live in the triune God. That's where we dwell, in Him. And Paul says, I want to be found in Him. And Paul counted all things lost, all his pedigree, all his accomplishments as loss, that he would know this one and be found in this one. And this one is the one that is the material to build the church. And he even, when I'm glad that Fred brought this out, Peter's name was not Peter. It was Simon, right? And the Lord changed it to Peter, which means stone. It doesn't mean rock. It means stone. It shows that Peter was going to be transformed. But how is he going to be transformed? Well, you can go to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 4. We've been given exceedingly great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. That divine nature, which is Zoe, okay, that we eat every day, this Zoe, that we handle every day, that we prepare our heart for every day, is the thing that will change us into precious stones. We can't change ourselves into precious stone. We're dust, and the only thing that we can accomplish is more dust. But as we allow the Lord to come in, as we eat Him every day, as the bread of life, He slowly, little by little, changes our being to make us precious stones. And where will they end up? In the New Jerusalem. And it's one of the greatest prophecies in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 16. He asked the disciples, well, who do people say that I am? And some said, you're John the Baptist, and some of you say that you're a prophet. And he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, you know, blessed are you. He says, okay. And then he says, you're Peter. And he says, and upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. Okay. And it's with Peter, a transformed, precious stone. Not Simon, but Peter. And that's our destiny. As we take in the Lord's life every day, little by little, He changes and reconstitutes who we are, right? To where we all know about diamonds, right? At least I hope we do. They used to be coal, right? Or something like that, like carbon, right? And through pressure and heat, okay, this is our daily life. It gets changed into a precious stone. Well, here's another thing. We need to thank the Lord for all our circumstances and problems and still eat. We still have to turn to Him. And even one of the paragraphs in this reading, which I suggest everybody reads, I can finish up with this. Let me find it here. It talks about, okay, I'll read this, how to enjoy Christ. Okay? Open yourself to the Lord and learn to stay with Him for some time. During this time, forget about your needs. Okay? Forget about your needs. Your business, if you have a business, or say your school, forget about school. When you're with the Lord, just, you know, okay? Your family, your home affairs, your work, and everything else. Just open yourself to Him and enjoy Him for a length of time. Feed on Him, drink of Him, and breathe Him in. Regardless of how busy you are, we have to spend, okay, and this is a type, we have to spend 3 times a day to sit down and eat something. This is a healthy practice, okay? But the main thing is that this is a picture. We every day eat physical food. We need to give more priority to every day spending time to eat the Lord. And then have time with Him. Spend time with Him. Open our heart with Him every day. And even let Him touch anything that hinders us from going on. And this is on our side. But we have to realize, Lord, above everything else, I need to enjoy You and take You in to be my life and everything. It's not me, Lord, it's You. And I want to prepare a heart as good soil for You every day that You can come in and flow and do a transforming, building work in me and build me up with others. you know, that you could have what's on your heart. And it's a joy. And I just want to, anyway, there's the, like Fred said, there's Roman numeral 3. But it just talks about the New Jerusalem. Should we read it or what? Okay. Why don't we just read Roman numeral 3? Okay. Actually, start with, okay. In the New Jerusalem, the crucified and resurrected Christ will be the tree of life for the nourishment of all God's redeemed people for eternity. The one tree of life growing on two
sides of the river signifies that the tree of life
is a vine, spreading and proceeding along with the flow of water for God's people to receive and to enjoy. The believers in Christ have access to this tree of life. As fallen man, Adam was separated from the life of God and not permitted to contact God as the tree of life. Through the redemption of Christ, the way to which man could touch the tree of life, which is God Himself in Christ, His life to man, has been opened again. Praise the Lord. Those who wash their robes in the
redeemed blood of Christ
have the right to enjoy the tree of life as their eternal portion in the holy city in eternity. The enjoyment of the tree of life will be all God's redeemed. The tree of life fulfills the eternity what God intended for man from the beginning. That's wonderful. I'm so thankful, Lord, your life. I'm so thankful that I could take you as life every day. Every need I have, Lord, is found in you, is fulfilled in you. And we need to help one another. And we need to life one another. In fact, Joe doesn't go to the Lord to receive life just for Joe. But actually, he does it for me, too. See? And when I'm with him, he can life me. Because maybe there's times when I'm not enjoying life. Right? Maybe I'm thinking about my next test, you know, or the bad grade I got on my last one. And then Joe comes along and just feeds me some of the life that he's been enjoying. See, we build one another up in love. We're here to love one another. And the best way to love one another is to share the Christ that we enjoy during the day with one another. And that's a building work taking place. So anyway, this is the beginning of this time together. There's a lot here, but praise the Lord for life. Our God came to give us Himself as life. Zoe. And I'm so thankful. Amen.